Let's take a look over here at the Radak. Radak Mizmor Yud. It is on page 83. Lama Hashem Talmoid Bamizrach. Why Hashem do you stand from far? Hamizma Hazeloi Amaro David Al Inyan Echon Miyavod Ela Tfilahi Sheispalal Ba Kol Adam Shubitzur Im Oivav. This Mizmor was not said anything specific. It is a general Mizmor that David composed for every single person to take advantage of when he finds himself in an ace tzara. Okay, that the Sibu Boy Darki HaRasha, get on page 83. I'm on page 83, and David over here went and he spoke about the Darki HaRasha Ba'oshkoi He'oni. He is describing over here the ways of the wicked. When the wicked takes advantage of the poor man, or the vulnerable, V'asher in le'koyach li'notzal mimenu, referring to the vulnerable who has no power to save himself from the Rasha. Being that most of the time a predator, a perpetrator, a criminal, a villain does not commit his crime in public. Okay, he doesn't want to get caught and be prevented from being able to do his crime many, many more times. Sibir Oyshek HaRosha Oyshek HaRosha Sheya Shayke Ani B'marav V'mistar. That is why this pasuk over here, I mean, that's going to be the theme, is that it's going to mention that he commits his crimes in secret. V'ein loy derech li shomer mimenu el noise el Hashem enough. And the Ani, okay, the Ani here, okay, here.
Recording in progress.
It wasn't okay. 3 minutes, it was like 3 hours. He comes back
at one time. Okay, Mayor, how are you? Good morning, how are you feeling? Okay, we're in the middle,
right,
I couldn't, we're in the middle of learning.
Let me finish the story quickly.
No, we're in the middle of, we have a chevra here. I'm sorry, I wasn't able to get the computer. We have a nice chevra. 5 people here. We're in the middle of learning. No one's wearing a mask here. I could not get the computer. We had a problem. That's why we have delay. We're in the middle. We're in the middle of the Radak, page 83. Page 83.
Okay.
The first row line. You'll tell us all the Musa later.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Go ahead.
We'll take the Musa later. The pasuk over here is discussing the Rasha does his behavior. B'yachid uv'rabim, ki haroishu echad ve'oizrav heim rabim. There's a network of wicked people out there in the world. There's a network of wicked people, and the mafia, the godfather is one, and his subordinates are many. V'cholal boy gam kein ha'oishek sh'asidim umos oylam lashek et shol v'yaratzam. The Mizmor, in addition, is describing the crime of the Umos HaOlam, what they're going to do to the Jewish people. L'fich Omar Avdu Goyim Me'aretzo La'aroitz Enoish Min Ha'aretz. Okay, he's giving us a general introduction. He has two principles, just to review in words. This Mizmor, according to the Radak, is a Mizmor that David composed for every person to say when he feels that he's a victim of a crime. And there's no one else to call out to. Society, unfortunately, more often than not, does not protect the victims. People are victims, they are abused, they suffer, and they go to authorities, they go even to Rabbanim, they go to the government, and they go here, they go there, and no one wants to hear their case. No one wants to feel, to take up their cause, to feel their suffering. So David HaMelech, he says, in that case, if no one's willing to take to protect you, to help you seek justice, say this Mizmor. This Mizmor is for you. It's for those innocent victims to whom no one is willing to protect. That's what the purpose of this Mizmor is. The Radak goes on to say, it's not just a single individual who suffers, but in the big picture of thing, Klal Yisrael. At times, Klal Yisrael is the victim of persecution from the Umos HaOlam. And it's for them as well. It's a multi-dimensional Mizmor. It's for the Yachid and it's for the Klal Yisrael in situations where there is no system to seek Mishpat. And the reason why many of the Pesukim here are described in are described with expressions with expressions of secret, of concealment, is because that's the way it ordinarily is done. When people commit crimes, they commit crimes in private so that they will not get caught and they will not be subject to publicity in their crimes. Okay, the next lines are Omar, Lama Hashem Tamad Berachai. Why Hashem do you stand for Farki? Keshatov ha Ezra Meito Laani Velatzei Ki Iluhu Karev Elav VeEzrai. Kamoshen Omar Asher Lo Elokim Karev Meilav Kashem Lokenu. Okay, Shoyev Miskaber Ki Iluhu Hakel Berachai Umalim Einav Min Haani. When the enemy prevails, then it appears to in our eyes that Kadosh Baruch Hu is distant. He is far away. And when Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to your rescue, then you get the sense that Kadosh Baruch Hu is near. Like it says in the pasuk, Asher lo yelakim kriv me'olav. Therefore, Amar Olam Hashem tam berachak, ubeiz berachak, oimeid, b'makom shtayim, ratzulema, b'makom berachak. Okay, so grammar. Alright, so that's the basic hakdamah of the Radak to this mizmor. This mizmor is a general mizmor for individuals and for Klal Yisrael who suffer and feel as if there is no way they can seek Nishpat. Cry out to Hashem, mm-hmm. Hashem will come and I will help you. Let's take a look at
I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu also asked us, why Lama Tamud Merachok?
Why? So you're saying that Lama Hashem Tamud Merachok?
No, but he says to us, why are you spending?
Why is Klal Yisrael? Lama, but how do you read into the words of the pasuk?
By the way, I don't come to the because I had corona.
You should have a refuah shleima.
I
hope we didn't give it to you here. That's all I can say. I hope we're not guilty of giving it to you.
I got it.
What?
Rabbi, I had in front of me in the human.
Yeah.
They have a list of for different occasions.
Okay.
People should say what they hear. And the Tehillim 10 is not included in
that. Tehillim 10 is not included in anything?
Not 10.
10, yeah.
Not included in
anything. In anything?
No.
For no cause. That's very interesting. Okay, what safe are you looking at? What safe do you have? What is this?
I have this Mitzudos.
The Mitzudos. Interesting. Okay, the Mitzudos. Interesting. Okay, I hear what you're saying. I hear. I don't know. There are a lot of lists.
You know, when you go to the Kotel and pick up one of them,
yes.
One has like a one-line summary for what
it's... Right. They have a lot of stuff like that. Right.
Yeah.
I have a lot of them. So that's what I like to do. I know I've been noticing is that on the page itself, where do they get those one-line summaries, what it's all about? It seems so far we only learned 10. We've only now embarked on number 10. It comes from basically the basic Mefarshim on the first pasuk of the Mizmah. So far, it's been pretty consistent. If you go through on the Mikros Kedolos, what we're using over here, and you read through just basically just the first pasuk, you get a very nice flavor, a hakdama of what the Mizmor is going to be all about. And they can say it a lot better than I can say it. So therefore, I just felt appropriate that we should learn maybe as we do the Mizmorim, we're not going to have to spend time on every single detail.
Like in the newspaper, the first paragraph tells you what the article's about.
Yeah, which newspaper are you reading?
No, but...
The title. The title tells, I mean, the headlines, they tell you whatever, but...
Then they elaborate, but
you keep, right, okay, Enochanami. But here, every minute, there are different opinions, Enochanami. Yeah.
Each one has a structure, you know, like a beginning, a
beginning, a middle, an end, correct.
Point, an end point.
But you need...
I don't know what they are, but I know that I couldn't share like that.
You said it again? Give a shear to show the structure of the film. Okay, absolutely. But you have to get the basic flavor of what the Mizmor is about. So far we've learned only one parish. We've learned from the Radak. The Radak is telling us that this Mizmor is a Mizmor, again, let's make it clear, was composed by David for individuals who are victims of crimes, and these victims feel there is no one to turn to. No one is willing to listen to their complaint. The system is corrupt, or the system does not work for them, and they need a means of expressing themselves. Obviously, you have to go to the authorities. You have to go to Beis Din. You have to go to the secular government. You have to go to people who can help you resolve your grievance.
not necessarily corrupt, it could be dysfunctional.
The system is dysfunctional. Okay, either so Mr. Marillus is saying a very important principle. There's a difference between a dysfunctional system versus a corrupt system. That's two very different, and sometimes they're intertwined. The dysfunctionality of a system could be because the system is corrupt, or one leads to the other. But you're saying very good. Sometimes it's a dysfunctional environment you're in. You have families, you know, there's no one to talk to. In chinuch, sometimes you have a rebbe, a teacher, and they have a student, and the student needs, issues need to be addressed, and you call up the parents, and there's just no one to talk to. The parents are just not, they're just not there. They're just no one to talk to. It's this a dysfunctional system. And then there's a corrupt system, where people have an agenda, and they're working against you. They're working to harm you, and they don't let you win. They don't let you move anywhere. You're saying very, very good. There can be two different reasons why a person feels that he's not able to achieve mishpat. And David HaMelech is well aware of that. And he composed this mizmar for those people because it's therapeutic. A person, even if he's not going to receive justice, at least he needs to be able to cry out, to express himself. And not everyone has the words, the eloquence, the ability to do so in a way that at least gives them some satisfaction. David HaMelech here in this mizmar has taken the appropriate words, the appropriate expressions to give a person therapy. Basically, when he finds himself in such a difficult situation where it's either dysfunctional system or it's corrupt and there's nothing you can do, and you just have to wait it out for who knows how long, and maybe a person is left and will never see mishpat. But here are the words a person can use to say, to express himself. And not only is it true for the individual, it's true for the cloud. Look at the Holocaust. Was there ever justice? Zero. What, you're gonna go say they took one or two people, they threw them out of their country? Come on, it's a joke. There's no justice. The Klal Yisrael ever feel satisfied that it was justice for the horrors that were committed, the Holocaust, the whole history of Klal Yisrael? No! So how do we deal with it? How does a person deal with it? We have Hashem, we have Emunah, that the day will come when there will be justice. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he keeps cheshbon. But a person needs the right words, the right expression, in order to let out that feeling of pain. And David HaMelech has come forward and has taken his koyach of language and feeling and expression and Torah and Yerushalayim and has given us the words to express yourself in these very difficult situations. It's nothing more than therapy. Okay, therapy. Look, something they say, you look in the Sifri Baal Musar, when you dive into Hashem, who are you really diving into? Who are you diving into? Of course, you're diving into Hashem. Hashem doesn't know. Hashem doesn't know what your situation is. So you know the Bali Musa say, when you daven, you're davening to yourself. You're talking to yourself. You're only talking to yourself. And by talking to yourself, you are just bringing out the awareness in yourself that Hashem knows what's going on, Hashem feels your pain, and Hashem will come to your rescue. Yes, exactly what I'm saying. Exactly. It's a form of therapy. Davening is the ultimate therapy. Now, it's a little dangerous to say that, because the Nusach HaBaruch is Baruch HaTor Hashem, you're speaking to Hashem. Of course you're speaking to Hashem. There's another dimension in davening that you're also speaking to yourself. One of the classic ideas that brings out this point is when Hashem...
You're requesting of Hashem to help you.
That's one thing. But that's automatic.
All your needs.
That's automatic.
That's right, all your needs. You're saying Hashem, help me.
Correct. You're saying Hashem help you, but it's multidimensional. It's multidimensional. You're davening to Hashem, but do you mean to say that if you're not going to daven to Hashem, Hashem doesn't know what's going on? He's not going to help you. Of course, Hashem knows what's going on. You're davening
to Hashem,
right? There's no question that you are correct. You're davening to Hashem, but there's another dimension in tefillah that you also talking with yourself. What's the proof to this point? The proof to this, I think, of Shimon Schwab says this. Of Shimon Schwab says a very powerful word. Is by liberation, comes to create Adam. Vayehi ha'adam lenefesh chaya. Adam was a living creature. What does it mean, a living creature? L'ruach mimalila. A creature who speaks. A creature who talks. When it says that pasuk, that Adam was a living creature, one who speaks, who did he talk to? Who was Adam HaRishon communicating with? There was no one out there. Hashem did not yet make Chava. Chava did not exist yet. Animals, you don't talk to animals. Animals have a different language.
So, it's just a couple of hours, yes?
So what? Even 1 minute. It says in the pasuk that Vayehi, the essence of the creation of man is a man who speaks. What's the use of speech if there's no one to talk to? Who is Adam speaking? When Adam was created, he opened up his eyes. He's defined as a creature that has the koyach of communication. It doesn't say the word leruach memalala by the animals. On the 6 days of creation, Hashem created the entire world. It doesn't say by any one of them that they have a koyach of dibor. Hashem created the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the fish, the birds. Okay, so we know from Perek Shira that they communicate in a unique way. But it doesn't say anywhere in Targum that this expression, that when man was created, he was a person that had the ability to communicate. It doesn't say that. Only by man. But who is he talking to?
Hashem.
Oh, so Shimshon gives two answers. Answer number one is the koyach of communication, the primary purpose of the communication was to speak to Hashem. And then he gives a second answer, which is very profound. And the truth is the second answer and the first answer are really two sides of the same coin. And that is, talk to yourself. You talk to yourself. That's right, you communicate with yourself. And what's the first answer? The first answer is to talk to Hashem. It's the two sides of the same coin. When you're talking to Hashem, you're talking to yourself. You, Hashem, help me. But by you saying to Hashem, help me, you're really talking to yourself also. I'm aware that Hashem is the only one that can help me. Because just to say that I'm only talking to Hashem, that's a shtickle apikorsis. Well, Hashem doesn't know your situation. Hashem is like a human being. You got to go call 911. If you don't call 911, the police are not going to come to your house. You have to hope that even if you call 911, they'll come to your house. But if you don't call 911, they're not coming. They're not, unless they're coming to arrest the person. They're not coming to help you.
There's an additional shot also, because it says Hashem created man, Kedem Ba'achor, and actually Chava was created also at the same time.
Okay,
but separated later.
Okay,
so
that's a okay.
Back to back.
But if you're going to say that if I don't dive into Hashem, he doesn't know what's going on. That's not true. That's apikorsis. Hashem knows everything that's going on. Hashem knows your pain, knows what you need, and Hashem will come rescue you even if you don't daven. So why are you davening then? Well, you want a boost. You want a little extra, a little icing on the cake.
It says by
Yishma Lekim Zakosam. Some of them first learned Zakosam when the nation of Mitzrayim and Hakadosh Baruch Hu heard them crying Zakosam. Zakosam means Hashem heard. Didn't hear their words. There was no words. Their moans, their groans. Hashem heard.
They're
not their words. Just their hergish. Their feeling of agony is the za'aka. So why do we daven then? Hashem knows what's going on. Hashem knows everything that's going on. Hashem doesn't know. Hashem doesn't know all the problems that we have.
But we're responsible to him. You know,
100%.
Not telling what's going on.
But even if we
don't... What's going on. We're asking you, Refa'enu.
That's self-understood. Even if you don't say one word, it's self-understood. The only one that can bring refu is Hashem. The answer is, you say what you're saying is correct, but there's another dimension in tzvila. There's another dimension in tzvila that you're talking to yourself. You're being mechazik, your awareness that it is only Hashem that can bring the salvation. And of course, you're talking to Hashem. Yeah.
I think something else completely. You don't talk to somebody, you just express your feeling. It doesn't matter it's if it's Hashem or not. If you let to whom he was talking to nobody, he was a baby, but a baby cries because he expresses his feeling,
right?
Maybe it helps him or something. That's his
therapeutic
therapy.
therapy, no. Yes, yes.
To the
I remember hearing many years ago by a bris mila, there's a chassidish minug, which I don't think I don't know what goes on in this world, I don't know, but there's such a minug where they would take the bris mila is connected to the akedah. It's connected to the akedah. So there's such a minug, I don't know if anyone in the world does this anymore, probably there are people that do, I don't know, no idea. They would tie the baby's feet and tie his hands, really. They would tie his hands, tie his feet. I don't know, the arcade, there's a whole sug in the Gemara exactly how was Yitzchak tied on the Mizbeach when Avraham offered him on the arcade. One leg, an arm to a foot, two different opinions, arm to a foot, or the 2 feet together, the two arms together, the whole sugya. So people will do this. Because when it says in the many midrashim that when they bring the bris mila is a reenactment of the akeda, and the doctors were screaming, they were screaming, "Don't you dare do this! This minig is sakonis nefashas." Because when the baby is in pain at the time of bris mila, the baby needs to express itself. It needs to let its legs, to shoot out its legs. It needs to let its arms out. It needs to let the pain radiate. Otherwise, if you're going to self-contain the child by tying its legs and tying its arms together, you're going to kill the baby.
You have to hold the baby pretty tight.
You got to hold the baby tight, but don't tie the kid up.
You
got it right. Okay, so you know you're saying good. Also, you have to make sure you don't let the kid move too much, because then it'll be another sakana to the Maisa Mila. But don't tie up the kid's legs and arms. You have to let the baby express itself. It's the same thing with davening to Hashem. It's a sin. Hashem knows what you're going through. Hashem knows your tzar. He knows your frustrations. He knows the zaka.
He knows frustration more than you know.
He knows where exactly. He knows better than you. But when you daven, it is therapeutic to let it out. And Chazal of the Nusach HaTfilah gave us the words, and of the Radak is saying that's exactly what this Mizmor is doing, and it's even more laser focused. It's specifically composed for people who have been victims.
Yes.
They're victims, and there's nowhere to go. There's no Besdin. There's no court of law. There is no one to help you. I'm a victim, and the frustration is enormous. And if you're going to be shut in, if you're going to be closed in, it psychologically can kill a person. You have to be able to express yourself. Who are you going to express yourself to Hashem? And David gave you the words. You need the words. What am I going to say? How am I going to say? Here are the words David says. Okay, this is the Radak. Now let's see the Malbim. Malbim is also a little bit of Hakdama. Hold on, the first paragraph. Pasuk on page 82. Page 82. Lama lama al pi amizma hakoidem misoirer al she elas mitnei mo yesh rosho v'toivloi. Shezeh siba sheyi ole me'enei habriyois ki yesh elokim shayftim ba'aretz. Okay, so he's saying that this Mizmar, what the Malbim appears to be saying, a little bit more, is it's a continuation of Mizmar tests. Just view this, even though there's nowhere that says that this is a separate Mizmar, that this is, we have no discussion. How many Mizmarim are there in Tillim? We have 150 Mizmarim, we discussed many times, but the truth is, but Chazal tell us there are only 147 Mizmarim. And the solution is, there are many solutions to this question, but the calm is that some of the Mizmarim must be merged. They have to merge from two into one. For example, everyone says that the first and second have to be merged. So that takes us down to 149. Because why? There's a Perish Chazal. Every Mizmar that begins with Ashrei and ends with Ashrei was Chaviv to David, and the example given is Mizmar Aleph and Mizmar Beis. Wait a minute, Mizmar Aleph is not Mizmar Beis, Mizmar Beis is not Mizmar Aleph, and the answer is no. Mizmar Aleph, Mizmar Beis is one big Mizmar. Okay, one down. We need another two to go. We need to get down to 147. I'm not aware that anyone, maybe some say, okay, but let's just keep that idea in mind. The Malbim seems to be saying that this Mizmar is just really a natural extension of the previous Mizmar. In the previous Mizmar, we spoke about the Laben. The Labain, we spent a day or two on this. Who is the Labain? Who is this person called the Labain? The enemy of the Jewish people. Remember, we had Lavan. We had the Scott. Did we say Lavan? I forgot. Right. Novel, HaKarmeli. But at most, the Farshim say very simple. We learned it was a person. His name was Labain. That was his name, Labain. And he was an enemy of the Jewish people. We have no record of him. We don't even know who he was. But there's a Messiah. There was a person, an evil non-Jewish, seems like this non-Jewish person. His name was Labain, and he caused great harm. And in the process of going through the discussion, we discussed the power of the wicked people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he holds back, and eventually HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to the rescue. This previous mizmor has opened up the age-old question: Tzadik v'ra loy, Rasha v'toyv loy, and therefore the Malam Ovir is saying mizmor yud is a philosophical analysis of this principle, which then means mizmor yud should be put on a pedestal all by itself relative to all of the other mizmor. It's a study in the reality that in this world, tzaddik v'raloi, rasha v'toivloi. This was the question that Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem. Hareini no es kivoydecha. Rashi, explain to me the principle. Why is this world that you created, Hashem? Why are there tzaddikim who suffer and rishaim that prosper? And Hashem said to Moshe, you may be the Chacham Mikol HaAdam. You'll never know the answer to this question. Even Moshe Rabbein, who was the wisest man, how do you know he was the wisest man? Because Shlomo said, I'm the wisest man. He says, Mi kehechacham, mi yodeh pesher dava. Shlomo said, I'm the wisest. There's no one that was as wise as me, no one will ever be as wise as me. But I want to confess, there was really one person that was wiser, and that was Moshe Rabbeinu. He knows more. And to the wisest of the wise, what does Hashem say? V'ro'isa esacharai ufonai lo yeiro'u. Moshe, you want to know tzadik v'ra'la rosh v'toyv lo? No, you're not going to know that. Don't even think about it. Don't even attempt. Acharai, maybe at the end of days, at the end of hindsight, maybe you'll understand, but not now. David HaMelech is taking this on. David HaMelech, according to the parish of the Malbim, this is a philosophical analysis and discussion of the principle of Tzadik v'ra loy rasha v'toyv loy. Why here? Why Mizmor Yud anywhere else? Because since Mizmor Tes, we had this discussion, we delved into this intense discussion about the suffering that David endured through these wicked people, or in general, I went into this discussion. We mentioned a whole mizmor about the tzaddikim suffering in the hands of the Rishoyim. So now it's an appropriate time to delve into this topic. Again, let's read the Malbim inside quickly. Pasuk Aleph, Lama, Al Pi HaMizmor HaKoidem, only because the previous mizmor, it triggered. The previous mizmor triggered the topic of discussion of this mizmor. Misoirer al she'elas, the question, b'nei mo yesh rosha v'toivloi, shezeh siba she'yi olei me'ini habriyos. This is something, this is a siba. Siba is really a cause. I don't know, it's not really, not the way that we use the word siba in the Gemara, but this is a reality. This is a very painful reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world where he can see, at least to our impression, he conceals himself, he hides himself. Ki yesh elokim shoftim ba'aretz. Now that means he's going, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he hides himself, don't make any mistake, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really knows what's going on. Lama Hashem tam barachik, mitzayer kilu Hashem oim yitam b'merachok. This pasuk here describes Hashem as if he's always standing from far. Shenid me'elanu ki ilu einu meisim lev lahashgiach mimeroim shiftoi. Hashem makes himself as if he's not paying attention on his holy abode, al hanaseh po b'shefa v'lis lowly world. V'rak be'es ha-tzara shu ha-es asher yiskorev el ha-olam. Only at times of tzara, which is the time asher yiskorev el ha-olam halos, the Yishpoi b'nei Adam al-Roya ma'aseyem, only time HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sensed, he's perceived, is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu exercises mishpat, when Hashem brings suffering, punishment, and then people get scared. She'oz lo yamoid oy merachok, then we do not sense Hashem being far, we sense Hashem being close. When Hashem comes down and brings upon this world peronis, avol gam oz achash eina ma'anish be'atzmoy, rak al yidei ha'rosha, shu shevet apo, he's now going into some very, very deep philosophy, extremely deep philosophy, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes, he does not punish through himself, only through the Rasha, who is Hashem's rod, okay, it's Hashem's Shevat, Shevet, or Shchodesh Shevat, Shu Shevet Apo, he is the rod of his anger, V'harasha Choshev Ki B'Koyach Yodohu Oysa Zoyis V'chem Ne'odim Choshev Shohu Nikre V'Shvoel Pi Hashem, V'yimkein Lo Metalmes Atzim Chogam Li'ites V'tzorah, Hagam she'incha oz meroichach, even though you're not at a distance, v'yata shevet amanesh v'chol zois tastiras asva, you still hard yourself bal yiru sh'atu hu ha'oin oitze zois. Okay. Well, in other words, he's saying here the Malbim over here is really getting very, very deep into this idea of tzadik v'rali rosh v'tov, and he's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he does decide to bring poronos, to punish the tzadikim, or to punish anyone for any evil deed that they did, he does not do it himself. He does not do it himself. How does he do it? He allows wicked people to be his instrument. And what happens when that when that happens, from our perspective, it makes things a lot worse. Because then we wonder, the wicked people, first of all, they think that they're in control. That they are the ones, they are the ones that are doing what they want to do. It's not Hashem. And we, the people, the tzaddikim, that for whatever reason, like the Shvar who wants to give them Musar, they are challenged in why the Rasha? Why should the Rasha be successful in it? Be successful? And what is the Rasha? And we don't necessarily see that it's the Yad Hashem. So there's like the Anochi, this is like we go Haster Astir Panah. There is a double hiddenness. The hiddenness number one is, why is Hashem causing a tzaddik to suffer? And according to what the Malbim is saying, there's a reason. A person has to have emunah. There is a reason why Hashem wants this good person to feel pain. We're not going to understand that. But there's a reason. There's a reason, whatever it may be. The second level is, Hashem, if you're going to cause the tzaddik to feel pain, at least reveal yourself. At least reveal that it's you, Hashem, that are entering into the picture, and you are causing a tzaddik to suffer. So that's a challenge. The tzaddik is challenged. Why, Hashem, did you reveal yourself and punish me? What did I do to deserve this? That's a challenge in and of itself. No? Yeah. You have a good person. I did everything right. I come davening on time. I learn. I do chesed. I did all the right things. I follow the script. Everything. And now, Hashem, he reveals himself. The Shekhinah is here, and Hashem gives him a punch. It's not fair. Why are you punishing me? That's itself a challenge. Not only, but Hashem doesn't stop there. Hashem doesn't reveal himself. Hashem takes wicked people, and Hashem tells the wicked people, arranges that the wicked people should be the one to give the person, the tzaddik, a punch. And when the wicked person punches the tzaddik, the wicked person thinks, hey, you see that? I'm the greatest of the great. Look how smart, how powerful, what a genius I am. Look how much power I have. So it's a double challenge. It's a challenge. It would be a challenge if Hashem would reveal himself and cause a tzaddik to suffer. And then it's a double challenge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he caused the tzaddik to suffer is through the wicked. And the wicked think they're in control. And they don't suffer. V'onoichi Haster Astir Ponai. Hashem doubly conceals himself. And the Malbim is reading that here into the Pasuk. Lama Hashem Tamoid Berochik. Hashem, you stand from far. Talim li'itoy spat tzara. There's a tzara. The tsara itself is a mystery. Okay, the tsara itself is a mystery. And on top of that mystery, there is another mystery as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals himself when he brings the tsara upon the Jewish people. Okay, that's the way the Ma'al learns. It's a philosophical, and every pasuk, I guess, according to the Ma'al, is going to be a philosophical analysis as to Tzadik Virali Rasha V'Toyvla. Tzadik Virali Rasha V'Toyvla. Okay, let's learn over here. Let's learn over here the Chaimus Anoch. Okay, the Chidah. The Chidah is his Hagdam. He says something a little different. Interesting. Okay, Lama Hashem Tama Berachak. Kosav, Harav, Mareinu, Harav, Rabbi Shloima, Adani Zahal. Okay, I don't know who this person is. Sefer Divri Emes, Ksaviat. Nire, Miperish Rashi Zahal, Vereish Perak Shem the Megillah. Okay, this is Daf Yud Zayin, only a few days ago in the Daf Yomi. The Mizmar Al Musla Dein, Veloma, you say, that's probably where I stood over here. I'm reading on page 83. I'm reading now page 83 in the Choymas Anoch. The plumb line, this is the Malbum. Aleph. So he constantly writes Harav Malenu Harav Rabbi Shloma Adani Zal B'Sefer Divri Emes. I don't know what the Sefer is, in the Ksaviat. In manuscript form, was it ever printed, the Sefer? Who knows? Nira Viperish Rashi Zal, Viperish Perish Shay the Megillah. The Mizmar Al Musla Bein Veloma Hakol Mizmar Echad. Ad kan lishoinoi. He's coming to the topic we discussed before. We have to over here make. We said this before. How many mizmorim are there in Tilim? Our tradition, our volume over here, our edition has 50 mizmorim. 150. It says explicitly in the Gemara there are 147. Okay, which Gemara is that? Megillah. I think in Megillah. I don't remember where. Did we learn this already?
Shlomo Adani, 17th century Hebron, wrote
Melech Shlomo on the Mishnah. Melech Shlomo on the Mishnah. Okay, wow. Okay, so he writes over here that we know our Messiah, our editions have 150 Mizmarim, but yet in The Gemara says there are 147. So how do we reconcile 150 with 147? The answer is some of the mizmorim must be merged. So we already merged one and number two. Over here he says that mizmor number 9 and 10 should be merged into one. It's really one long mizmor. This is what he says. How do you know this? The mizmor al musladein. The lama hakol mizmor echad ad kan lishon. Begam nisi loharav haniska shakasav sim kuf tezvav loylanu roy v'sifrei ksaviad ein ze tichilas mizmor. He's giving us another calculation. This is what we say today in Hallel. Today we said Hallel, and we only said chatzi Hallel. Okay, so the mizmor, where's the ksaviad ein ze tichilas mizmor ella kuloi mizmor echad. Ad or hafti. So the two mizmorim that we call chatzi. Why is it called chatzi? Because we only recite half of a mizmor of two of the. If you go, you add up. What do you skip? What do we skip on Rosh Chodesh? We only skip two mizmorim. Why do we call it chatzi halal?
We say 80% of the halal.
When we say challah on Rosh Chodesh, chatzi challah, or on Pesach, when we say challah, we call it. You say today chatzi challah. Really, chatzi challah. I would say it's 80% challah. Why do you call chatzi challah? What's the half? The answer is that these two mizmorim, what we skip, they're really part of another mizmor, the mizmor right before it. Let me turn to the page. Should be familiar this morning. Hopefully, you were paying attention. Can't say I was, but Okay, so we come to Betzeis Yisrael. It's Kuf Yudalid.
Yeah.
No, it's not Nazir Teis Yisrael. Sorry, it's Loy Lanu and Ash. Kuf Tesvav. Right, no, it is one Mizmar. The way we have it over here in our Siddur, Loy Lanu is Kuf Tesvav. So he's saying that Loilanu is really part of Kuf Yudalit. Let's read inside what he says over here. Vulama, he writes over here, Gamri Yisil Harav HaNitzchah Shekosav, Sim Kuf Tezvav, Loilanu. Kuf Tezvav begins Loilanu Hashem Loilanu. Roiv Sifri Ksav Yad, Ein Zet Chilas Mizmar, Eloi Kuloi Mizmar Echad Ad Ohaf. Now, I'm not sure what he means over here. We do have it as that. I mean, we do have that Loilanu and Hashem Zichoronu is all part of one Mizmar. And likewise, Ohafti and Mo Oshiv is all part of one Mizmar. So when we say Chatzi Halel, all it means is that these two Mizmoirim were only reciting half of these two Mizmar. Chatzi is not going on the entire Hallel. It's only going on two Mizmorim. Right. We're only saying half of these two Mizmorim. Uvahot tenuach datenu al masha kasev Yerushalmi umedus shoycher toiv umeseches seifrim diyesh kuf mem zayin Mizmorim besefer tehillim kineged. The Shnoi Sov Shal Yaakov Shem Kuf Mem Zayin. Yaakov, how long did he live? 147. How long was Yaakov supposed to live? He was supposed to live at the age of 180. Why did he die 33 years prematurely? Because he said, Vayomer Paroi Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha. And he said, Ma'at Viroim Hayu Shnei Yimei Shnei Migurai Leisiguas Yimei Shnei Adosai. I did not reach the age of my ancestors of Abraham and Yitzchak. So Chazal criticized Yaakov Avinu on two accounts. Number one, why did you say Me'at Vidoim? Number two, why Taka did you look so old? Because what's the reason for that? Because the Chazal say there are 33 words in the conversation between Paro and Yaakov. Paro says to Yaakov, how old are you? And Yaakov answers, how many words are there in those two psukim? 33 words. Because that conversation was a conversation of 33 words, Yaakov Avinu lost 33 years of his life. All the Mefarshim ask, it's not fair. Why did he lose the number of words that Paro, when Paro said to Yaakov, Vayom Yaakov Paro Kama Yimei Shnei Chayecha, that's not his fault. That's not a complaint on Yaakov Avinu. So if you want to go take away from Yaakov Avinu a complaint that he did not respond properly, did not thank Hashem for give your survival in the most difficult circumstances with Esav and with Ma'aseh Dina and Lavan and v'chul with Yosef, so just so we'll have a time for what you responded, why is he also held to task for Paro saying, V'yomer Paro, El Yaakov Kama Yishnei Chayecha. And the answer all the Mefarshim give is the same is, the complaint was, Yaakov, why Taka did you look old? Why did you allow Paro to even ask the question? When you walked into Paro's palace, you should have looked like a 20-year-old. You should have looked fresh, young, spry. Why did you allow the sorrows of your life to get to you? Why did you allow? You should have had so much emunah that every difficult situation in life was like water off a duck. And then it would have not gotten to you. Seva would not have crept into your essence. And you would have walked into the palace as a young man, looking like a young man. But because you allowed the tzoros to penetrate your soul, that showed there's something lacking in your emunah. Is that a shocking thing to say? I'm not saying it, someone says. And therefore, Yaakov was held accountable just for the fact that he looked old, that Pharaoh had to say, why do you look so old? And secondly, he was held accountable, how dare you say, ma'at zera'im? How could you say my days are few and evil? They're not mad.
Could he do about his appearance? He was wrinkled, he was bent over.
We all know today that Rachmana Litzlan, when a person goes through a difficult time in their life, they can age prematurely. That's a fact. And doesn't need an explanation. When a person's overwhelmed with daigos, Rachmana Litzlan, problems in life, even if he has perfect health, but he dealing with difficult situations in life, it can cause a person to age, to look a lot older than he really is due to the
substance.
Because Yaakov Avinu, on his exalted level of emunah, which is beyond any figment of our imagination, Hashem wanted more from him. This is what the Mefarshim say, that he, when he had all the problems dealing with Yosef and with Esav and with Lavan, he should have been able, on his exalted level of spirituality, shouldn't bother him. He's Biyad Hashem. Everything is Biyad Hashem. And then it's like on a honeymoon his whole life. And he should look a nice tan. You know, have his hair's dyed nice. Nice white. You know, nice straw hat. He should come into Pyro like, you know, as if he just came from the country club.
No, but it wasn't just his looks. So a lot of unfortunate say he came in bent over, krechzing, groaning. You know, like he made himself like an old person.
Because he allowed the difficulties in life to affect him. That's what Chazal say, and that's why he was held accountable for the words of Para. Those go into the calculation of 33. Now this itself is a very powerful idea. And Chazal said, David HaMelech, when he wrote Tilim, he compiled exactly 147 to be exactly Yaakov Avinu 147. Why? Why do you want to dwell upon Yaakov? One, you can make the gematria of Yaakov. You know, take Yaakov, the gematria of Yaakov, and make Tilim according to the gematria of the name Yaakov, according to the gematria of Yisrael, according to this. You want to identify with Yaakov Avinu? There are many, many ways you can identify with Yaakov Avinu. Why do you choose to identify with Yaakov Avinu with the number of years, 147? The answer is one answer is because when you say that Yaakov was 147, you right away challenge, why 147? What kind of number is that? Why didn't he live to the age of 180? There's a tradition, a person, you calculate your life after the years of your parents. Okay, we have this all over in Chazal. A person should not expect to live longer than his parents. And a person gets within 5 years of the patira of one of his parents, he has to have worry. He has to worry. You shouldn't expect in the certain whatever these things are all about. Why 147? It's because emunah. You should have. It's because of me'at zera'im. Vayomer Paro Yaakov, kama yimei shnecha? Why do you look so old? And this underlying message in Tilim: don't repeat the mistake of Yaakov. That's what Tilim is all about. Emuna, emuna, emuna. Come close to Hashem. David says, I'm giving you the words. I'm giving you the expressions to mechazik yourself so you should not fall into the trap of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, I mean, how can you say these things about the Ovis HaKidoshim? You can't say these things. You have to take a step back and realize on their exalted, exalted level, you know, beyond our possible understanding. But you have to also learn Derech Pshat. And the purpose of Tilim is, don't fall into that trap. A person, why opening up the Tehillim? Why? You got a problem. People just don't, for fun, open Tehillim. Rachman, some people have problems. Problems, all of a sudden, say Tilim, say Tilim, say Tilim. When you open up the book to say Tilim, you'll see it's 147. Yaakov was 147. Yaakov said, Ma'at Vera'im. Vayom Paro Kami Mei Shnecha Yaakov. Don't fall into that trap. Here is my sefer. It's going to give you the koyach, the words. You got a problem? All right, you got a problem. Daven hard, have emunah. But don't let your problem affect you that even one hair should turn white. Don't let that happen. Don't bend Don't let your posture bend one mashu. At least that much take out of Tehillim. Daven to Hashem. It's a very important, that's a very powerful musa in number 147. And there, these are the, now, how to get to 150? Good question. How got to 150? That's a tough question. But the Iker is 147. And now he says, he cites three sources. The Medrash Sheikher Toiv, Rav Michal is very familiar with this. Okay, Rav Michal is a five-star expert in Medrash. Masechta Seferim. Okay, Masechta Seferim is a very popular Medrash. Masechta Seferim. And the third one he quoted was the Yerushalmi. Okay, that you can't do it with Yerushalmi. Is, I mean, that's the king. Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi. Which one has more weight? The Talmud Yerushalmi, the Medrash Sheikher Toiv, Masechta Seferim. Interesting question. From these three, let's say Rav Baruch. Rav Baruch, what would you say carries the most weight? The Medrash Sheikher Toiv, Masechta Seferim, is almost like a Mishnayis, or the Talmud Yerushalmi. I'm curious to what you would say. Which one do you think carries the most? Put them in order of weight. What would you say? Oh, I agree with you. Okay, none of my opinions worth anything. He says Talmud Yerushalmi. What? I feel the same way you feel. Maybe one would argue Masechta Seferim because it's almost like a Mishnayis, but it's not. It's not Mishnayis. If it was part of the Mishnayis, Rabbeinu HaKadosh wouldn't have put it in the Mishnayis. Who wrote Masechta Seferim? Rabban. What?
Like
the Masechta Ketanis.
Ratings.
Okay, yeah. Okay, you're right.
Who do you think wrote the Medrash?
What?
Tanoim wrote the Medrash, so what are we talking about?
Medrash though, maybe you're right, listen, I don't know what I'm talking about, I'm just thinking out loud with you. From learning and learning together, it doesn't seem that Medrash carries...
Because people don't generally get in there and learn it. But
I think, maybe you're right, I'm not saying that.
But
somehow halacha. There is a principle.
The default goes to the Gemara all the time. But nevertheless, the same Tanoim of the Mishnah will be involved.
Okay, but here's the difference. The difference is there's a principle called La Suke Shmaitza Aliba de Hilchasa. When you say, I agree with you, I don't know anything. I'm not on a level anywhere near so you're saying they're underrated, and maybe you're saying that the Medrash is Tanoim, whereas the Talmud Yerushalmi is Amoraim. Okay, so you're saying very good. The Medrash L'chayim is Tanoim, and the Medrash has Amoraim.
No.
It's earlier. The Medrash is earlier than the Talmud, or at the same time as the Mishnayis. Okay, we have to study this in more detail. But there is one. I want to throw out one idea. And that is, in learning Torah, there is a principle called the highest level of learning. Where is that found? Maybe you can challenge even this principle is, Liasuke Shemaitza Aliba Dehilchasa. You learn Talmud, you learn, and the goal is to come out with a halachic conclusion.
Halacha.
No, but it would appear that the learning itself is maybe I'm wrong, but the learning itself is catapulted to a higher degree because there is this principle of La Suke Shmaitza Aliba Dehilchasa. You learn, you mafalpa, you learn to come to the Amita Shel Torah. This is what you do, La Halacha. Do you light eight candles going down to one, or do you light one going up? There is a pilpul in learning, and the goal is to reach a conclusion that we follow in practice. Is there such a principle, La Suke Shmaitza Aliba Dehilchasa, in the study of Medrash? I don't think so. Maybe I'm wrong. Eilu ve'elu, divrei Medrash. Eilu ve'elu, divrei Elokim Chai. You don't come away at the end of Medrash.
Different sets of rules.
But you don't have that type of principle. Only in the Talmud is there a principle of La Suke Shmaitza Aliba Dehilchasa. So when you have a Maimon Chazal in the Talmud Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, it's all wrapped up in the package of Asuke Shmaitz and the Aliba Dehilchasa, which creates a dynamic of an intense environment. Whereas Medrash, it's Kodesh Kodoshim. But is there a pilpul in the study of Medrash where the goal is la suke shmait alid the hilchasav. I don't think so. Every word of Medrash stands on its own, and when there are contradictions, excellent. That's right. Let there be that. That's right. We thrive on that, and we practice all of the different forms. As suke shmait alid hilchasav is a world in and of itself. So you have a Talmud Yushalmi, and this is quoted there in that body, in that work. You know, it carries a certain weight. Medrash, and also Medrash Achaviyaz, also not all Midrashim are the same. Not all Midrashim are the same. You have to know and study the whole hierarchy and the whole Shalshalas Hadaris of Medrash to see where all the Midrashim fit into, you know, which ones carry more weight. All right, that's a side point. I think it was Kedai to discuss that for a few moments. Going back over here to the Chumash Hanoch. He says, I'm over here on the first wide line of the Chumash Hanoch on page 83. And then somehow the Rabbanim Basroi, so this is very important what he says over here, the later rabbis. This is not just an accident.
What happened?
I'm on page 83. I'm on page 83, the first wide line. The Havu Ba Rabbanon Basroi the Kufnun Mizmam, the 100 and 150. The Im Toimar. So now you gotta get down from you gotta get down from 150 to 147. So if we combine these two.
Which paper is on page 80?
The Choyma Sanoch.
Okay, I was back there by
the second line now. The Im Toimar the Ashrei Vulama Rogshu Echod Akati Havi Kuf Mem Tes. And you're going through the classic elimination. The first one to go is Mizmar 2. That's the first one out. Right. Okay, very good. You're down to 140. 149. Kuf Mem Tes. U'ma'asha teretzu heim dvodim d'ma'asha teretzu heim dvodim d'chukim. And what they answer is going to be dvodim d'chukim. I don't know what he means by that. He says, the Yesh goes on. To take what? To take number 1 and 2 together? He's going back on that, on 1 and 2? To combine 1 and 2 together?
Who was the ones who cared to?
V'rabon, v'havu b'rabon, and basroi. The kuf, v'havu means there's a question. V'havu b'rabon, and basroi, the kuf, nun, mizmor. What do you mean? How can you go say there's 147, but we know, open up the book. You'll count, 150. So what is the answer? V'im toimar, if you're going to tell me the answer, the ashrei, v'lom rogshu, echot. Akate ha. First of all, that's not going to help you. It's only down, only going down one. Umasha teretzu him dvarim dechukim. I guess it means that you're not finished. You're not finished. To go, I don't know what he's saying. Would
combine three of them is dechukim?
No. He's only combining. Well,
he eventually has to be three.
Right. Eventually have to run three. He doesn't want to add to the equation. Doesn't want to add to the equation that mizmar one and two. Let's see what he says first. V'chasav dehanochayin hu. The shnei mizmoidim b'sifreihem hoyu mechubadim imecho achedim kemosh amu b'shas al ashrei v'lo merokshu kemosh kasafti b'kuntres kiser rachamim dafnon hei ayin sham iku hashlem otzinu. Now that we find hashnei mizmoim the yud v'kuf tes vav shem mechubam l'mizmoim shekarmu v'havei kuf mem. You only have to knock out two. You only need to knock out two. And what he's knocking out is, he's telling us that Mizmor Yud and Tes, okay, Mizmor Yud and Tes is one. So what we learned last week, Mizmor Tes and Mizmor Yud, that takes us down from 150 to 149. And then Mizmor Kuf Tes Vav, which is, Kuf Yudali Kuf the Mizmor Kuf Tes Vav, that is Hashem Zichronu Yivarech. Hashem Zichronu Yivarech. Shem Mechubarim the Mizmorim Shekadmu V'Havei Kuf Mem Zayin. It's Mechubar to the Mizmorim Shekadmu. The Kuf Mem Vav goes back to Kuf Yudali. It's one long Mizmor. It says Yisrael Mitzrayim Loilanu, Hashem Zicharanu, and Ohafti is one long mizmar. Okay, it's one long mizmar. Now the problem though is, you're only down to 148, right?
He doesn't want to combine all of the
base. No, so I guess he does. He does also combine. I guess he didn't like the inks they gave to combine the other ones that are made. They have other one, other, they have other solutions to combine the other two. And one and two. And one and two. That makes it Vimnashka Loima Oidili Mia Mash Amushaim Kufmem Zain Mizmarim Al Derzu. Okay. It would appear that's what he means to say. It appears that he held very important that Kuf Yudalit and Kuf Tes Vav is one long Mizmar. So when we say on Rosh Chodesh, we said today, B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim, we only said B'tzeis, so we skipped Loilanu, and then we said Hashem Zichoranu, and we skipped Ohafti. It was a real chop-up job. We took this mizmar and we cut it into four parts. And we said today only the beginning and the middle. We left out the second half of the beginning and the second half of the end. So you combine two together. We combined Aleph and Beis, and the other mystery is to combine 9 and 10. And that's how we go from 150 to 147. That's the way. It's a very important chidah. This is a very powerful chidah. I gotta go look. I know there's another. I vaguely remember. I have to see if I can find the sefer somewhere at home. Rabbi Mordechai Kornfeld. You know Rabbi Mordechai Kornfeld? This is genius. All of the Kornfeld brothers are geniuses. A lot of them are rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. The Anglos. The whole family of Kornfelds, they're Rabbanim, one of the Rabbi Beis Shemesh. And the other one that I know, I haven't spoken to him in many, many years, he was the founder of the Daf Yomi Institute.
Is this the Rabbi Kornfeld who's on 18th Avenue?
No. On 8th Avenue?
No.
Maybe they're related. This goes back 20 years ago. He was the first one to really use the internet for Daf Yomi. He was the first one. When the internet first began to, you know, come forward, he had, I don't know, that's his brother, I think. I think it's his brother. I don't know what he does now. He lives in Har Nof. The one that I know, I actually went to visit him. He lives a long time ago. He lives in Har Nof. He started very Choshev Koila, a very, very big Talmidei Chachamim, and it's still available. So although you go online, Daf Yomi, Institute, where they sent out really, then it was emails and into website of Chidushim on the Daf. He had some really, really good stuff. What I liked the most was the insights were really spectacular, the insights. And then he had also hard words. On every Daf he took, I would say 5 to 10 difficult Aramaic words from the Gemara, and he translated and he gave you the etymology and a little bit of a perish on what this word really means. Every single daf. And then they had the view, a whole different, and then you could send in any question. If any question on the daf, one of the members of the kollel would immediately respond, answer you. He was the first. And then came along a lot of other people, and today you don't hear much about it. Unfortunately, you don't hear much about it. I don't know what he's doing now. I don't know what he's doing now. But all of his work is all available for free online. It's all available online. So he, in addition to this, he wrote this amazing, amazing sefer on Chumash. He's a genius. And he wrote a sefer on Chumash in English. It's called Torah from the Internet. Today, if anyone would have a title like that, Torah from the Internet, they would be banned. They would be literally arois. The reason why he did it then, so innocent, was because no one even knew what the Internet was. It was in its infancy. This goes back probably, who knows, like 25 years ago when he did the Chumash. And he used to say, and he has incredible chidushim, incredible original ideas. And he would send it out. I still remember look forward, get emails. Every Friday you get emails, original things that you never saw before. And then I remember that Seh Day got an email and says, I'm no longer doing it. I'm stopping because I don't have enough time. I was doing the Daf Yomi and I'm just totally consumed. I don't have time for this anymore. But he did publish it. He published it called Torah from the Internet. He would never do that today with such a title. But in those days, no one even knew what the Internet was. It was an innocent term. And there, I don't remember, I have to go look if he has a whole essay on the number 147, 150. He has an original idea how you go from 150 to 147. Okay, the Chumash Hanochah over here says something very important. When he says 9 and 10 are combined, and I believe he has something also very original. He probably has this somewhere. He has all the sources. So Bli Neder, I have to do my homework and I have to find it. All right. This is the Chida. Okay, so I think let's just do the Mitzvah to the Rashi, and we're going to stop. The Mitzvah over here says Talmud Baracha Ki Ilu Talmud Berlichu Gemakom V'Talam Atzma Ve'Sara. The Mitzvah stuff on the page, just like Hachoch, you conceal yourself. And Rashi says Talmud Le'itois Batzara Ta'alim Einecha Le'itei Hatzara. Rashi adds in eyes. Talmud, because the word Ta'alim is a word that relates specifically to the eyes, to conceal yourself. Now, there are different ways to hide. You can hide by hiding your body. You go into a bunker. You go into the basement. You remove your whole body. Talim has a connotation, I'm right here. I'm in the room. And the only thing that I'm doing is I'm just not looking. I'm just, my gaze is not focused on the subject. We do this twice a day, or more. Kriya Shalamita, three times a day, something more. When we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, what do? We close our eyes. You cover your eyes. Why don't you go and leave shul? If you don't want to see what's going on in shul, it's Kriya Shema. Everyone, get up, leave. So you shouldn't see what's going on when you say Shema Yisrael, right? Right. So why do you cover your eyes? There's so many reasons why we cover our eyes. Basically, the most simple is because no distractions, right? That's the most basic reason. When you're saying Shema Yisrael, you have to concentrate, so no distractions. That's not the only reason. There are many, many more reasons why you say Shema Yisrael. One of the reasons, deeper reasons, because when you sing Shema Yisrael, you're expressing faith, emunah. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Ruach, Hashem is today. Hashem is only our God today. The Goyim don't know from this. The Goyim are not interested. They're not interested. But the day will come when Hashem Echad. Where are you, Hashem? How come the Goyim don't see you, Hashem? And why do you allow the Goyim to prosper? It's because of this pasuk. This pasuk, because Hashem in this time is Lama Hashem Tama Berachok. Talim, you hide your gaze, your eyes. Le'itois batzara. Now in the world that we live in, the Rishoyim, they thrive. They get away with murder. Literally. They get away with everything. There's no Yirat Shemayim. Why? Hashem, how do you allow this? Hashem, you've been talim einecha. When you're saying Kriya Shema, okay, again, 100 perushim while you cover your eyes. Pashtra, you're covering your eyes. So you should be able to concentrate. But on a different dimension, you're covering Hashem's eyes. You're imitating the Ribbono Shel Olam. Why is it that Hashem is only Elokeinu and he's not yet Echad? It's because Hashem is covering his eyes. He's covering his eyes. He's doing what it says in this pasuk. Lomo Hashem Tamoid Birochik. Why, Hashem, do you stand at a distance and do you cover your eyes? That's what Rashi says. Talim is a word that is used in reference to the eyes. Lite Hatsara, at times of difficulty. Okay, so we've done the Hakdamah review, what we've done today. We just read one pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Anoichi, is hiding himself. We learned the Hakdama, two different explanations of what this Mizmar is about. According to the Perush of the Radak, this Mizmar is a philosophical analysis of the principle of Tzadik V'Raloi, Rasha V'Toivloi. Why are we doing a philosophical analysis about this principle? That's the Malbim. It's because it was triggered by the previous Mizmar that discussed the success of the Rishoyim. And in fact, right. And then if you want to build upon that, the Chida says, because the two are interrelated, the previous Mizmar triggered this Mizmar. The MS is one Mizmar. It's one Mizmar. Kuf, the only Kuf Mem Zayin, there's one Mizmar, and the other two Mizmar that we have to combine is when we say in Tehillim, in Halal, and the first and the second. The Radak had a whole different interpretation, didn't go to say any of this. He just said very simply, the Radak is that this is a mizmor that David composed for victims. People have been abused and are suffered and want to go, want mishpat, and they live in a society that's either dysfunctional, as the Merul has explained, either dysfunctional or it's corrupt, and there's no way for them to receive, to get mishpat. David said, let me at least go for therapy. Express yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he will help you. And David gave the individual and Klal Yisrael the words to express themselves, their frustration to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that there's no way we can get mishpat in this world, but at least we have emunah, we can cry out to you. And in the process, we discussed two other ideas. We discussed the idea of 147. 147 Tehillim corresponds to David HaMelech as a message to us not to fall into the trap of saying that our days are me'at ve'ra'im. If you're coming to say Tehillim, you got a problem. Unfortunately, more often than not. Okay, you got a problem. Don't let the problem go so deep into your neshama that you should get even one gray hair over it. Have emunah, at least have emunah for that. And the other principle is covering the eyes, the minhag to cover the eyes. We say Kriya Shema, it's rooted in this pasuk over here. Hashem, you are ta'alim. You conceal your eyes, Rashi. Ta'alim einecha li'itois batzara. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu. It's not yet Hashem Echad. Until it's going to be Hashem Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we acknowledge you're there. And for whatever the reason is, you're covering your eyes. All right, we're going to stop now, take a short break, and then we're going to talk about Rosh Chodesh Shvat. Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Habolein L'Toyva.
Okay.
Mayor, good morning. Let's hear words of wisdom.
Speak of a betray.
He's shy, Mayor, to everyone.
Hey, how you feel?
Mayor's doing just fine. He's as feisty. He's as feisty as ever. Mayor, I was gonna come visit you on Shabbos, but I wasn't able. I just ran out of time. I ran out of time. I had to get back. The less what? The less visiting mayor? Mayor's safe. He's safe.